sometimes some areas of interest and questions do arise, and you're very welcome to come and take a seat here. And they may come from experiences, from reflections, from talks, instructions, the groups, or whatever that might be. And then some communication, some dialogue gets underway. And remembering too, of course, the primary intention is that it's a real contribution to insight and understanding for each and every one of us here. The person or myself at any time can say thank you to bring it to a close, and then another person may wish to come after a couple of minutes to speak, so that we're kind of alternating from some inquiry to silence to another inquiry. Remembering as well, finally, of course, with the listening itself, to listen as fully as possible to each other, to the two people at the front, and inwardly as well. And so often it's so important in life, I feel, that we do have to catch some of these inner voices that go on. And as we said in the afternoon, just watch the view that gets formed, the interpretation of events. And we're not trying to deny them or block them or react in them, but to really to see what they are. And clarity in life is to see what's wise and useful and clear and beneficial, and what views need to be inquired into and worked with and worked on and dissolved. And all of that's real part of a real practice here. And the situation there, there's a couple of cushions there. I've got, for usual, the recorder in hand, and if you feel okay about it, it gets recorded. With the usual health warning, it might go into the public domain. So anyone who didn't come up in the previous inquiry is very, very welcome. And just remember, at any time, you can say thank you. I can say thank you as the signal to bring it to a close. You coming up for an inquiry, Emma? Why not? Tempted. All right. Yes, please come. Yes. With the recording? All right. Yes.
Not sure about the question, but I had the feeling or the wanting. We speak about being an island, a light, commitment to the way, to the spiritual way. And we find things, we find ourselves, we find the courage to be ourselves in it. I did. But there's a problem for me. How do I get another island on? How do you make two islands meet and stay an island?
Go on.
And it's not just it's not just a romantic island. It's also because I'm very committed to my way, which is writing, and I kind of really dropped so many things out of out of my life, noise and things I didn't need. But now I'm with my journey, with my path, but with nothing, so to speak. So how do I continue?
A little bit about the duality here. So that I am an island and I...
On my way.
Yeah, and I want another island. What?
To hop on island. To be happy enough with my empty island.
But what's the word? What's island a metaphor for? What does to be an island to oneself, or to be a light under oneself? It's strong metaphorical language. But what a little bit more would you say?
I don't know. It's all the presence I got along the way. It's everything. It's trusting, comforting.
Oh, I see. All right.
So many things that are here, that are in the present moment or in other.
And to get it clear, with the support and what you receive and what comes to you, and letting go or keeping the noise out of your life or whatever, has the space which has been created allowed the creative writing to come?
Definitely.
To come through?
Definitely.
So what's the problem?
That I had to really take myself away physically.
Yeah.
From everything, and I will continue on to the next writing. It's not that I want to stop that. I'm not going back, but it gets kind of lonely.
Yeah.
No, I mean, it's not. It's there's boats that pass by, and
the boats pass by. Are you talking about men?
Also family and commit and work need to make money, and
the
life continues.
Sometimes,
and there's a wish also to
Do you want your cake and eat it?
I think there's a way. I mean, I see people
For most, not for everybody, but the individual creative art, which is one of the expressions of emptiness.
That's really?
You bet it is. And one of the infinite potentials of what can be brought out, and yet nothing of itself. That for some, it does require that in the solitary arts, the painting, the poet, the writer, a certain kind of discipline to remain rather single-pointed and focused and true to one's art. And that generally would mean some sacrifice elsewhere, so that the art, in this case the writing art, as a presentation among many, as a presentation, really has a real opportunity. And are you saying that you may have excluded too much? That you want to, which is freedom, of course, that you want to open it out to be more accessible or available, or, as you said, have other islands or whatever? And if so, what would be the change?
I would like, and also I don't think I need to choose. I'm glad to hear that you're saying that the creative art is practicing emptiness. It doesn't always feel that way because, you know, it's there's the wanting also of the publication, and there's the words and the papers and the trees piling up. But I don't think that I have to choose, that it's that I can't have a family of my own because of that.
Right. So.
So how?
All right then. I think you may just have to spell it out more publicly. It might ring some bells. Who knows? That'd be strange. So, the one thing doesn't have the power to block something else. I go back to the thread and the theme a little bit. The potentials and the possibilities are there, and it would be a pity if one formation of life, i.e. the writing, got so narrowed down to it that it did inhibit access to much more, because in the non-writing and in the experience of the non-writing, it's the raw material for the writing. And the quiet disciplines of the writing and the absence of the writing, because it's dependent on all these other factors. So, currently, how much time a day would you spend writing? What?
Almost.
Or how does it work with you?
Almost all. I'm almost ending.
What are you writing currently?
I'm actually editing. I'm editing a book that I wrote last year.
Yes.
Can
it fact or fiction?
Fiction.
Fiction.
Based on truth.
Yeah.
It's my truth. It's, as you said before, it's my truth, and I'm writing it down. And then I'm going to say, this is my truth. That's why I'm doing it. My fiction truth.
My fiction truth. In Dharma language. I won't go on and on. Truth is.
But mostly
neither in fact nor in fiction. It doesn't have a locality.
Yeah.
Truth in Dharma language is when, in the context of a situation, and that could be reading fiction, it could be reading the poem, it could be attending the play, it could be writing the novel, it could be a history book, or a book of non-fiction, whatever, is when the moment or moments come, and out of that dynamic, labour the word, dependent arising, out of that dynamic, something touches, which in its emergence, something fresh is seen, something new is understood, something is clear, one's smaller or greater day woken up to something in a fresh way. So truth can't be found in something. If it was, everybody would find the truth. But sometimes in the context and contingent, a variety of factors, a truth.
Contingent?
Dependent on. Contingent on. How you are. What is read. The time and the place. The receptivities, many factors. And sometimes out of those contingent or dependent conditions, something you move. This is truth. So the idea of putting my truth in a book is called ego.
I know.
Yeah, nice. Right, don't forget.
That's why I'm saying it.
So there you are. You're editing a book at present, and
rewriting,
and rewriting, and putting together. And I know how much time and energy. I know Stephen wrote a book, and it's a labor of love. And that's where it is. Do you need to come back a bit forward? Do you need to make any change in your life? Or you think, okay, just keep faith with the form, with the disciplines, and just keep steady as it is now, because you're using your creative force? Or you think, actually, I need to shift somewhere. That shift might mean less time in the writing, or it might mean less somewhere else for more of something else.
Yeah, that's my question.
Well, I'm not going to answer it. It's your life.
Have faith in you, Christopher.
I know, I heard you a bit today. It's very sweet. I've got more faith in you.
Yeah, I think there is a change needed. Also, circumstances.
Yes. Yeah. Anything specific? Because that helps to ground a principle. The principle is some change is needed. You know, whatever, nothing dramatic there. And then from the principle, it needs to move to the specific. Mm-hmm. If you were to make a change in your life, which is respectful of your creativity and acknowledges other islands or a wider life, what would you see for yourself would help in that process?
Good question.
Thank you. And a good answer. Thank you.
Is that a goodbye? Thank
you.
No.
Honestly.
I don't know. What change do I need to do?
Yeah, is there any specific change in the diversity of your life which is respectful to the creativity and recognizes the heart's wish outside of the field of the creativity, and therefore what could help nourish and support that? That's the question.
Can I get a hint?
No.
You gave me a sentence once.
Did I? Tell me, what did I say?
That it's okay that I'm tall. That was 5 years ago.
And you clearly remembered it.
Clearly remembered it.
It's okay that I'm tall. No.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah. Maybe you can think of another sentence.
Another one. It's okay to have an interest in two islands.
Okay. I can say that. Yeah, it's okay to have interest in two islands.
Yes. Okay. We're infinite creatures. We're not finite little beings as we keep thinking we are. We have a tremendous capacity. Tremendous. We can go beyond ourselves. It's extraordinary.
But then an island doesn't stay an island. I mean...
No. That's why the whole talk was on that this afternoon.
Right. It doesn't stay an island anyway, but... But it seems that it's like on the planet, islands don't collide. The contrary, they. I mean, I know we're not real islands, and so on. But if I'm using the metaphor, so how does that happen? And you don't, especially when you're so invested in your.
It'd be a little bit of risk taking here. The voice of. A little voice of doubt or uncertainty comes across a little bit. And sometimes the subject, which is yourself here, who is creative and has an engagement with it, sometimes and that's the risk, one may have to put it aside for a little while, feel and experience life outside of the field, called the creative, engage in it fully, not feel that one is wasting time, trusting in it, using, Stephen was speaking a night or two ago, with the power of trust. And sometimes, and I find this for myself, that in the absence of the creative, there is a marshalling that is going on, a renewal, a re-engagement, a rebuilding, a re-emergence. And then it comes out, poof, fantastically on the creative. It's not always good for us to try to make the effort as the act of will to constantly be creative. Keep all options open. Do you know Rilke, the poet?
Mm-hmm.
For some of us, we are on bended knee in hearing his name. That I think he went like 4, 5, 6 years, dropped his poetry and waited very patiently. And then I think it was with Duane, the elegies came out. Or in the space of like 2 or 3 weeks, some of the greatest poetry of the last century. Creativity comes in the absence, in its absence. It's an expression of emptiness. Okay.
Okay. I can say things back, but it would be fears or doubts.
All right. So as I mentioned, a little encouragement then, that outside of the creative, the but passion has to go into it.
Yeah. It's just the problem that I've worked so hard to be the writer.
Yes.
To be with this identity. I took so many risks.
Yes, I'm sure you. I'm sure.
Even though all the emptiness from the years back, of course, showed themselves, all this wanting manifested itself in this year, or now almost two. But, I mean, this is my, for now, this is, so if I leave that, then I really won't have anything.
No. So then where the heart is, you, as you said in the first part, you stay steady with it. Keep your spirit of the writing alive. You make that the event there. But given the initial point of the inquiry, the metaphorical language is used, you do not want to get to the point, as some writers do, and think, what happened to my life? It got conceptualized. So you're talking to a writer. So yes, yes, yes. Yet there is life outside the writing. And we have to have a passion for it. And then you can hold the both, because we have infinite potential to do that. Thank you. Have a couple of minutes and then another invitation. Yes, anyone, anytime. Yes, please come. With regard to the recording, all right? All right.
So, Stephen mentioned a couple of nights ago.
Yes.
The the concept of authenticity.
Concept of authenticity.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking a lot about it regarding the professional path.
The professional. What are you in the so-called professional world? You have a profession? Oh, you got that. Do?
Well, I work.
You work? What's your job?
I'm a designer in the field of sustainable design.
A designer in the field of sustainable design. Nice one. A designer in the field of sustainable design. All right.
In Hebrew, it's Itzuv Bar Kaima. Itzuv Shemunah Mishikulim Sivatim Vechavratim.
Very good. All right. So, carry on. Just curious.
So, in this field that I feel, which is quite authentic to me.
Yes, yes. Mm.
I have many hats and many possible hats.
Can you hear her, right?
No.
A little louder. She says she has many hats and many possible hats.
So, since it's a field which is growing, is becoming kind of more more prevalent in the world in general, but also in Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And since, let's say, I'm one of the first people that really took the time to learn this field and bring it to this place.
That's good.
I feel it is important to put my energy in the most effective place.
Very good.
And so I work also as a lecturer in the field, and I also practice design. I work with companies a little bit, and I do different things. And then the challenge is that many times when you do a very kind of wide range of things, then you do very little steps in each.
Yeah, yeah. You mean, sometimes you say in English, I don't know if it's the same, but spreading ourselves too thin, too wide.
So then many times I feel I should understand where I should focus and kind of take the boat.
Sounds like the first inquiry was too narrow, and the second is too broad. A crude summary? Okay, carry on anyway, go on.
So, actually my debate between myself is like, how does one know which shit to take?
Oh, it's a metaphorical evening. Why not? How does one know what ship to take? I go by plane. Oh, bad. All right.
You know,
I know what you mean. I'm with you. You know, I'm not sure. Heart of hearts, whether we ever really, really, really know. I'm not sure. I'm not so sure if we really, really, really have to know either. It has the whispers in it. If we really, really know, it can breed arrogance or conceit. Or certain kind of views, sometimes religious views. This is what God wants from me for my life, you know, etc. And some, or, and that can breed some arrogance or conceit. And the other extreme of this could be a lot of doubt, couldn't it? You know, what's the best boat? What's the best direction there? And how would we know? How would you know? Have you had any time, periods in your life, you said, "I'm on the right boat"? And if so, what happened to it?
There are moments, I know for sure.
Some moments.
Yeah. I mean, let's say I think like I'm on the right direction.
Yes.
But
you might be, and then the inconsistencies of life, changes of life, the sheer diversity, that in that direction, in that period of time, sometimes there's the act of the decision, sometimes the emergence from the event, it's enough, it stops. It may be wished for, it may not be, but life doesn't respect too much personal wishes, does it? Just move with it, and it gets interrupted, and we get off one boat and we flounder around, and then maybe someone throws out the life belt and we get back on another. Life, isn't it? So can't it be that in the diversity, design, sustainable design, speaking about it, working with it, being one of the earlier ones in the field, etc. Is it not possible, and this is an open question, to just stay with the breadth of it?
It is possible. I mean, yeah. there are times that I think that's probably what I should do.
Yeah.
So maybe it's just me being more anxious to see progress than,
yes.
I don't know. But there's also,
I mean, it'd be a pity if the sustainable designer finds it unsustainable.
This is one thing I learned.
It has to be
sustainable for yourself. This,
yeah, yeah, absolutely. All right.
But I think since, you know, like you talk about New Age, so for us it's a greenwashing.
Greenwashing.
As it becomes more popular, so, you know, everybody thinks they know everything.
Yes.
And it's the same in the sustainability field.
Mm.
Yeah. And so in a way, if you really want to, I don't know, kind of show some examples,
yes,
to how authentically this can, yes, be, or, to, you know, as far as you are able to.
Yeah.
Then you have to do some precise and very effective actions.
Yeah,
I would say.
Yeah, good, very good point. So, for change to come, there has to be precision. There has to be, of course, creative determination, the design to make something happen, and that's going to require some samadhi, some concentration power, to be able to make all of that happen. Right now in your life, since that's what the awareness and your experience is telling you, are you able to focus on a specific physics and to help generate and design something.
Yes.
Yes?
Good.
What's the current area of real interest for you in sustainable design? What specifically would you be talking about or referring to? Because it's such a large umbrella concept. So what you need to see demonstrations in the field, as we say. What would be your point?
Well, there are a few things that I'm doing. So I don't know.
Anything, tell us. I'm curious. otherwise, it's a little mildly abstract.
Yeah.
You put it in the concrete.
Well, I have one project that works with street lighting.
Street lighting.
On wind power.
And wind power.
Yeah.
Go on.
And another project that works with collecting rainwater and dew water in the same element.
Collecting rainwater and dew water in the same
element. Yeah.
How did it do that? How do you get rainwater and dew water in the same place?
Well, it's all about collecting.
Collecting. Yeah. All right.
Well, and so on.
Yes. And can, from your knowledge and experience, can this generate obviously kind of fundraising? Who are the people who you are encouraging to say, okay, let's make something happen?
Well, that's another field.
Another field.
I mean, in a way, there are three things. Like, there's teaching. There is working with companies and organizations which are willing to pay for my services.
Yeah.
And then there is the, let's say, my creative writing in my
own. Right, that's very good. So there's teaching, there's working with the companies who wish to employ your services, and then there's those specifics like the dew drops and the rain and the lighting and so forth. And does it? Is the sense that all three, which are invaluable, are really, you're focused on all three, you can embrace all three and actualize them. That's the three ways that you best offer sustainable design.
I think in a way they complete each other.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. All right, yeah. I mean, I might say, the best way, teaching in the retreat forms would be one. Maybe a second might be talking with Abigail about the writing, the support and all that goes with it. And the third might be the various meetings, and dialogues, generating new forms, practices, whatever it might be. So, okay, this is what I'm good for. Still can't change a light bulb, but maybe next lifetime, and I'll just keep with this and forget the next lifetime quip. And so sometimes we have to respond to our strengths. Outside of those three fields, is there much joy and happiness in your life?
Yes.
Good Dharma practice.
Dharma practice. Yes.
I don't mean sitting in the cross-legged realm. I mean the whole day, the life, in and out of the forms.
I've learned a few things. You've learned a few things.
All right. Okay. So all of that, it sounds quite nourishing. Hearing what you said. Is there enough appreciation? Mudita, in the concept. It means appreciation, appreciative joy for that which we engage in.
For sure.
Yes? He whispers sometimes. For sure.
For sure.
Ah, nice, nice. Better. All right, okay. So there's the event, the teacher, the working with the businesses, the forms of design. But the event has a person who is engaged in the action, who has a relationship to the event. You make the event, but you relate to it as well. And the power of the heart is the appreciation for the support and the activity of the of what the event is. When we start losing the appreciation and gratitude, we're in trouble. We'll burn out. We'll feel it's a profession. We'll feel it's work. It will feel it I have to do. We'll feel it's effort and willpower that keeps me going. But if there is the love and appreciation, we don't have a profession. Don't have a job. Work? What's that? That's for people who are in resistance. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Right, we'll have a quiet minute to finish and then a little reflection. Seems much of our life with a certain kind of encounter with it. It's a meeting place. And as we were listening, sometimes, and for all of us, the meeting place and the knowing of ourself can lead to an action. So we know where our strengths are. We know where our skills are. We know what we can offer or commit or give. I think sometimes we've got to listen to ourselves well enough and as best we possibly can respond to that. And that will mean, as we were listening earlier, some real sacrifice and learning to do without and letting go of, and it will take a certain kind of trust, and that may be in a certain knowledge we have accumulated a certain artistic creativity, or in a certain capacity to give support, or to organize, or to run, or to make happen, or whatever. Many, many forms for us. And if one senses that the awareness and the intentionality and the vision, especially the vision, is valid and authentic, oneself and others, it really does take some quiet discipline. And it may well be that one misses out on other areas of life. You know, I mean, give a small example of my personal life. Yeah, and probably have mentioned this in previous visits to Israel. In the last 35 years, the longest single period of time that I've been in one place is 8 weeks. And so I'm just a very small servant of the Dharma, that's my, what I do, and I love it dearly. And plenty of times in the flow of over the years, naturally enough, plenty of other things I would like to have done and to do, which I couldn't possibly do. And sometimes I've had a real interest to learn some skills. But to learn some skills, you've got to be in the same place and learn those skills. You know, and, whether it's a language, or whether it's a course, or whether it's about computers, or whatever the sort of thing that has arisen. And sometimes for some, and some of you as well, it's to stay steady and true to something. One's had to let go and adjust a great deal. And being a parent, it's a huge one of going and then back as quickly as possible to fulfill that role, and then going and then and back again. So sometimes, let's say, we listen to where the strengths are, we know ourselves, what we can offer. We try to stay steady and true to it as well. And for all of us, some things are in the letting go and the small sacrifices and the doing without there. And it's not unusual, we meet the point. And I can remember, if I may say for myself, when I first starts teaching, there's a lot of extra pleasure. Mostly, not all. People say extremely nice things. There, got an extremely comfortable spot up here, and it's a lovely activity, and it's of course a great privilege, etc., etc. That lasts for a few months, and then of course the criticism will come in, the likes and the dislikes. Who is he? Da 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 da. To do this. Da da da. All of this must come. And despite everything, and as others of you will know in your respective fields, whatever it might be, one is endeavouring to stay true to something. And the staying true to it is the great ethic of life. No matter what, praise and blame, approvals and disapprovals and other things, one just stays steady and true. And that can be done in a very light, not in an obsessive, neurotic kind of way, and I hope my friends feel I'm completely neurotic and obsessive. I hope they will tell me and put me out to pasture somewhere. But it can be done. But it's the samadhi of the long term. You know, we have the samadhis of our meditation, but there's a single pointed samadhi for some of us of the long term, and it's just staying true. And some of you here. With stay true. I was just speaking a little earlier to Judith, and she'd been concerned for peace and committed to it. And she tells me, "Can I reveal your age coming up?" No, all right, I won't. So anyway, she's getting a little older. and just years, and Martha too, they just stay steady with something. And no, others are, you know, losing heart and losing faith and dropping out, and it's all too much, whatever it might be, peace issues and reconciliation issues and many other issues. There are people who have this ethic, just stay true to something. And I think that's precious. It's precious in the arts, it's precious in commitments, it's precious in the direction, it's precious for the samadhi as well. In saying that, I don't think it has to be single-pointed on a particular thing there. And sometimes the ethic is just staying true to love. So it's not about a role or a position. It's just staying true to it. As the great force of humanity is to generate love and find ways to do that. I mean, this really matters. This is the great ethic in life. And religion at its best never forget to remind us of the importance of love. And religion at its worst totally forgets it. And then sometimes we may have to make some changes, as we were listening to. And that flexibility which is there. And for some people who have some responsibilities in terms of being in the field and helping to set things flowing, you might say the founding fathers, the founding mothers, the elders, the first generation of people are helping things to get established. I think, and Stephen and I applies to, and Mikhail and others of you, I feel it for me, a kind of particular responsibility. If we're the first generation, in our case, of first generation of bringing the Dharma to the West in a very practical form, we have a particular responsibility. A person who's got a lot of knowledge and skills about sustainability and have been engaged in that for a number of years, and as you pointed out, other new people coming in. But those who are the elders, their task, it's a very important one, to be able to share and give guidance and give support to. And all of that is part of a real exploration. Concentration, samadhi, long term. Sometimes making some changes and adjustments, as we were speaking about and exploring that. Recognizing that some letting go and sacrifices may be quite necessary in this, and just staying true to something. Staying true to it. Art, creativity, love, dharma, exploration, service, whatever. Not wandering too far away. Thank you, everybody.